Good morning. If you have been a member of the Episcopal Church or have attended Episcopal Church services for any length of time, you know that we repeat a collect at the very beginning. And it is called the Collect of Purity. Almighty God, unto you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. So we have been saying this prayer for 1600 years, I don't know, a very, very long time. It was written somewhere in the 8th century by Alcuin of York. And he wrote the prayer for Charlemagne, who was going to be the first Holy Roman Emperor. And Alcuin of York wrote this prayer for Charlemagne's coronation because he wanted to remind Charlemagne that he was not the highest being. He wanted to remind Charlemagne that someone is much greater than you, and that someone is God. So don't forget it. It was a very brave man to write this prayer for the Holy Roman Emperor. And we say it at the beginning of every service because we are inviting the Spirit to cleanse our heart. You know, we cannot hide from God. God knows our heart, what is in our heart, and we are seeking and asking that God purify our heart. And what that word purity means, particularly in the Hebrew and the Greek, is that it is unalloyed. It is unadulterated. In other words, like pure gold has no other elements in it. It is only gold. That means it is unalloyed. It is unadulterated. So for someone to have a pure heart means that they are single-minded, that they serve only one thing, and that is God. So that's what the pure in heart is. And if you have been with us these past few Sundays, we've been looking at the gifts of the Spirit. And when we are baptized, we are given 7 gifts of the Spirit. That is wisdom and understanding, counsel and knowledge, and fortitude and piety, and the fear of the Lord. And we have talked about knowledge and piety, which piety corresponds to meekness. Blessed are the meek, and knowledge to blessed are those who mourn. So this morning I would like to focus on blessed are the pure in heart and blessed are the peacemakers. So blessed are the pure in heart, that is the gift of understanding, and the peacemakers is the gift of wisdom. And the gift of understanding is about our own personal illumination. Our understanding is when the light gets inside our mind and we see reality for what it is. We finally understand. It is a deep insight, usually into an aspect of faith. I remember many years ago, I was traveling in the Middle East, and I was in Egypt, and I became very ill. Missed the Valley of the Tombs. So, you know, I was really, really sick. And never, ever travel in Egypt in August. It was 120 degrees in the morning. So it was just absolutely stifling. And we had just visited the temple of Edfu, with the god Horus, the hawk. And I had come back and laid down and basically passed out. But when I woke up, what was going through my mind was the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. And I had been attending the Episcopal Church for maybe 4 years. I did not grow up in a liturgical church. I had no idea of the power of the sacrament that was happening inside of me until that moment. And my whole being yearned for the body of Christ. And it, even in that moment, even though I was not receiving the little wafer and the wine, I was truly receiving the body of Christ in the bread of heaven. And I know that's what sustained me. We had no doctors. I was on some boat going down the river and was quite certain I was going to die. Maybe I was not going to die. I don't know, but it felt like it. And that sustained me. So it was a deep illumination. That's the gift of understanding, when we receive insight about a certain aspect of the faith. Because we go through the rituals, we do it every day, but until we understand, until we have insight, until we are connected with it emotionally, does it have the ability to change and transform us? That is the gift of understanding. The gift of wisdom is the ability to see God's perspective. In other words, even in the midst of profound pain and suffering, we can see that God is at work even in the midst of it. Even though it looks extremely dark, we can see the presence of Spirit making all things new. And this corresponds with blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers, as we heard in Isaiah, the repairers of the breach. Those who are willing to build bridges between disparate peoples. It is very hard and challenging work, and no one can really do that except with the gift of God's Spirit and the ability to see how God sees. You know, this month we are celebrating Black History Month, and we honor that in the Episcopal Church. And so this morning we're singing gospel music as best we can. And when we hear these songs, we hear the Spirit from years and years and years of singing those songs that sustained a people through very dark times, through the darkness of slavery. So there is this gift of understanding. And so you and I, as people who claim to follow Jesus, are called to be peacemakers. We may not fully inhabit this gift, but this gift has been given to us in our baptism. And we are invited to nurture it with the sacraments and prayer and fellowship and listening to the Word of God. You and I are called to be repairers of the breach, to be bridge builders. And there is a lot to repair in our world. I watched a video this week of a group of 2,000 people in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They called themselves the Ceasefire Choir, outside singing to outside the hotel room of ICE, singing to them songs of love. That is, blessed are the peacemakers. And one of the ways that we fight hatred is not with hatred. Hatred breeds hatred. In fact, if you can get a choir, a crowd on fire, quicker than anything, it is hatred. It moves like a prairie fire. It ignites. It explodes. Hatred is addictive, and it spreads very quickly. And if we understood what hatred really is, hatred is an emotion, just like any other emotion. The problem is that we either get shamed in our hatred and then we push it down and it comes out sideways, but we need to own our feelings of hatred and process it and let them go. Let that transform us. When hatred becomes very dangerous is when it becomes attached to ideology. And that's what racism is. It is a hatred out of instinctual fear that is attached to an ideology and then proclaimed as truth. And it tries to get many people on board with it. And because people are afraid to face their feelings of hatred, and then they become dressed up as truths that people proclaim. And this very week, we witnessed outright racism by a head of state portraying black people as apes. It's very real. And this is what the Ku Klux Klan did for years. We have to be willing to face and own up to the intensity of the feelings that we feel. We have to have courage to process them, work through them, but they cannot be tolerated. If the person who did this had been in high school or college, they would have been expelled immediately. It would not have been tolerated. Because we know what it leads to. And people of color, as children, grow up feeling that not being white is something shameful. And they carry that with them. It's a horrible thing to put on people. So we cannot tolerate this. It has to be confronted. And we have to see in ourselves how we participate in it. By what we allow. And particularly if we lean towards the left, we think we're on the good side of that. But in truth, we have to all individually look at how we tolerate racism. It's an ideology that is connected to hate. And we say that God loves everybody. And we say we believe that God loves everybody. And what are you and I going to do about it? How are you and I going to repair the breach that just perpetuates itself over and over and over again? How will you and I repair the breach? That's the work that we're called to. That's what our baptismal covenant calls us to do. Is to respect the dignity of every person, and dignity means that every person has value, not based on what they look like or what they do, but by the very truth that they are a human being. And that we will strive for justice and peace for all. This is a covenant that you and I entered into with God, and we said we would do. So what are you and I going to do about it? it's a question that should weigh very heavy on our heart. And what is so important for us to understand is that you're the only one in your little neck of the woods who can repair the breach in your neck of the woods. All of us are important. And it could just be the way you listen or not listen. It could be your willingness to confront or not to participate in a conversation. There's all sorts of ways that you and I can be repairers of the breach. And often it's easy for us to sit in our worlds, particularly if it's all white, because we think it doesn't touch us. We think it doesn't matter because it doesn't really affect me personally. But oh, it affects you. Isolation is a horrible place to be, to think that someone else's hurt does not affect us. That's where we need the gift of understanding, that light, that beacon that stands on a hill, excuse my diphthong, that hill is in here. That's where the light needs to shine to help wake us up and to see what you and I need to let go of so that we can join hands with our sisters and brothers and walk side by side. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome together. Even in Buddhism, it's the same message that one cannot be a bodhisattva until one has crossed over the river together. One doesn't go over alone and I'm all enlightened now, see y'all later. The only way we become enlightened is if we do it together. That's what the church is. If we do it together, if we join hands, we walk over the river together, then we can say hallelujah. No one is left behind. No one. And so what we need to do, if the church is really being the church should act like a sieve. Everything we hear on the news, everything we see happening outside should pass through the sieve. And if it doesn't get through, it's not of God. And I promise you, there's going to be less that passes through than's thrown out. That's what it means to be salt. If you and I do not leave a perfume in the air when we leave that turns people towards the light of God, then we're not in alignment. Then our heart is not cured. We're serving both mammon and God. And Jesus says it ain't going to work. And we may think we're all retired, you know, we did all of that a long time ago. You're still on this planet for a reason. God has us here for a reason, and it's not just for pure enjoyment. That's wonderful if you have enjoyment, but we have work to do. We have God's work to do, and that means repairing the breach. And I'm preaching to myself as well. This is all what we have to fear. What the world wants us to think is that we can't do anything. The world wants us to be lost in hopelessness, that I can't do anything, I don't matter. That is not true. Every single thing you do every day matters tremendously. And that's where we need the light so that we can begin to change and realize that you have been called. You have been called in your baptism to serve and follow Jesus Christ. And we have a choice with that every single day and every moment of the day. And when we fall down, we need to pull ourselves up and ask for God's help. Not beat ourselves up, but just keep going. We are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. God is waiting for us to answer that call, counting on us to answer that call. Amen.